Welcome to the Rob Scott Show. We are going to be talking about mindfully consuming today. And the reason we're going to do that is that we want to get into this idea that there's this default kind of feeling that we think we're going to find happiness in more consumption, endless consumption, being able to have more, get more, consume more. And often the opposite is actually true, that sometimes less is actually more in the happiness department.
Are you listening?
This is the Rob Scott Show.
Damn.
I mean, really, like, if we're not trying to change the world, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Hey, Sarah, how are you today?
I'm good. It's great to be back recording with you.
Yeah.
I'm excited for this talk. And I know that this is a topic that both of us feel fairly strongly about and practice in our own lives. So I'm excited to get into it with you.
Yeah. And I'm actually in the process of practicing this more because I just recently moved. And so I'm actually picking things mindfully to kind of put in my home and in my life, and where do things go and how do I store things? And the space that I'm in is actually smaller than where I used to be. And so there's less storage area and all that. So you actually helped me kind of clutter clear before packing mm-hmm. to move here. And then getting here, I still have this other kind of layer of getting rid of more because what I thought would fit actually doesn't fit. And so this is really, really important because I think that we get into a space of overwhelm in a ton of different areas in our life, right? We get into too much information consumption, for many of us, too much food consumption. It might be a specific part of food consumption, like too much sugar consumption. It could be too much alcohol or drug consumption. It can be all these different things. And it leads us to
technology consumption.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for the big one.
Right? Media, phones.
Yeah.
TV, screens
everywhere all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Waking up, looking at your phone first thing and, looking at it hours and hours and hours more later. And this leads us to feeling really many times guilty if we know we're doing things that we don't want to do and we're doing them anyway. We can feel anxious. We feel like we can't keep up with the Joneses, but then when we do keep up with the Joneses and we get whatever, it doesn't bring as much happiness. Some of us are ultimately end up like house poor, where you've gotten this beautiful home.
Mm-hmm.
I had a really close friend, and I think they actually did well on like a TV show, like a Jeopardy or something. I think his wife did well, and they ended up having this kind of windfall of money come in. Like, she did really well on the show, and they ended up buying a really nice house because of that. But then over time, it was almost like they bought a house that was maybe bigger and more expensive than what their real living expenses could do. And so they ended up kind of house poor. And I think a lot of us do this without winning on a TV show any extra money.
Right.
We end up kind of, getting into a situation where we're spending more than we ultimately want to be spending. And so, this leaves us in debt. Oftentimes it leaves us not able to manage our time. We don't have the ease and freedom. But if we can get this together, there's a ton of clarity that can happen in our mind. We can feel more healthy. We can have a ton more freedom in our time and attention. We can lose weight if that's important. All the different things can get better if we get better at this. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. And I mean, from anything from clutter clearing your house to managing how much you're in front of a screen to watching your, am I eating because I'm bored or am I eating because I'm hungry? Like every level of this kind of consumption that we're going to look at, if you can manage it, it's going to give you massive benefits.
Yeah. And I don't want to let people, it's not like you need to get all of this together right away, but if you even dial in on any one of these areas and start to make some changes, it can really free you up and it can sort of illuminate, oh wow, I haven't been paying attention there and it's really gotten out of control. I'm doing this stuff. So
right.
let's get into like what we mean by consumption. There's a couple of perspectives that we often like to do, right? Mm-hmm. The individual and the collective. Individually, we're clearly consuming more, certainly in our culture here in, we're recording this in the United States. And in our culture, we are consuming more and more and more all the time in all the dimensions that we talked about, which we'll go through some of those specifically in a minute. Collectively, we're consuming more too. At this time in humanity's existence, we are consuming like crazy, and it's growing over the whole world to a place where some would argue it's not sustainable. Like, we can't keep consuming, or if
I would argue it's not sustainable.
Yeah, if the entire world were to catch up to how we here in the United States are consuming, that's not a sustainable level of consumption on planet Earth, not for food, not for clothing, not for energy, not for all these different things. And so I always like to look at it in both things. I think for most individuals, this may be most useful to just think about you and your life, but this can inform how we all feel about, you know, how are we deciding to use energy? What's happening in the kind of cars we decide to buy? You know, what are we doing in, you know,
is every single person in our family, do we need four cars per family?
Exactly. Like, right. Right. Know. All that kind of stuff. Yeah. So, before we get to all that, before we get to, you know, here's the one thing I don't want to ever do on this podcast is, come across, I don't want to actually ever be on any kind of soapbox telling everybody, you know, here's the right way to do it, right?
Sure.
I do want to bring up ideas that seem interesting and things that I think are helpful to people and things that I think when we're, one of the main themes is when we're unconsciously behaving in a certain way where we can bring a little bit of attention to it and we can ultimately change how we think, how we feel, and how we behave, right? That ultimately leads to betterment and change. So if you love your stuff, I'm not telling you to get rid of all your stuff, right? You don't have to be a minimalist. You don't have to change the kind of car you drive, all those things. But I do want to discuss how some of these things may be costing you that you don't even know it, right? That it may not be obvious to you. And with just bringing it up, you know, check in with yourself. Are any of these things kind of holding me back? And the reason that,
well, and there's a variety, there's a variety of areas where we could talk about consumption. So stuff might not be your thing. Food might not be your thing. Maybe it's technology, phone usage, maybe it's, you know, something else. So right. It's taking this one concept.
Yeah.
And we might talk about it in the sense of, are you spending a lot? Are you hoarding? Are you, do you have excess? But like, just find the area in your life that it closest applies to you. And you kind of just look at the idea, the concept, the awareness of being more mindful in general,
about
how you're consuming in whatever way feels right to you.
Yeah. Mindless consuming. I think those two words together, if we're just mindless in our consumption, right? That seems really gluttonous. It feels inappropriate to the rest of us, right? It seems like if we do that ourselves in our own life, it's like when you've got that pizza in front of you and you just don't stop and you eat the whole thing, it's delicious along the way until it's not, and until you feel really crappy after. For me, it's like ice cream or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. There's all that. We did do a different podcast, I think, where we talked about creator versus consumption. And mm-hmm. we're not going to go into that deeply here because we've already talked about it a little bit. But it is really interesting that a lot of times we want to be significant. We want to be somebody who's creative and all that. And instead, we're consuming, right? We're watching everybody else. We're listening to what everybody else is talking about. We're doing research on our competitors instead of saying what we're here to do, right? Giving our unique ideas and creating. So that dynamic is kind of important, but we've dug into that deeply in another show. What I want to talk about is this impossible goal of infinitely more, right? I think our corporations are set up to just constantly have growth, right? If a company's not growing, it's dying. And that can't work infinitely, right? At some point, there is going to be a tapering off. And instead, I think there's a different kind of mindset here of maybe sustainability. Like, what does sustainability for ourselves look like? What does balance look like in a certain sense? So, you know, we can never attain infinitely more, right? We can never, if we get this, we want the next thing, right? It can never be satisfied. And there's only this fleeting satisfaction in the moment,
right?
As we're, you know, kind of consuming, but it doesn't leave a lasting sense of happiness or presence or any of that stuff, right? 99% of the materials we create, and I'm not, you know, I don't know this to be actual fact. I'm being loose with my stats here, but some enormous percentage of the materials that we create, at least in this culture, you know, are literally in the trash pile 6 months later, right? So think of all the phones, think of all the cars, think of all the clothing, think of all the, you know, all the packaging on all the goods that we use, all that stuff, right? That ends up in the trash, right? There's a big trash heap, and hopefully more and more of that's being recycled, et cetera. But we're also kind of up against this thing called both planned and perceived obsolescence, right? So companies are planning to obsolete certain technologies, right? We know that as computer companies put things out, they don't always sell the absolute cutting edge best thing. They sell it in stages so that it can obsolete itself. And they're built to actually innovate so quickly that what they do provide you needs to be replaced, you know, whether it's a year, 2 years, or 3 years later, like very, very quick obsolescence there when companies are planning to do that so they can keep selling you things, right? What did you just have to purchase?
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, and this is kind of a hot button for me in general. So I also don't want to be in a soapbox, but yeah, I had to replace my laptop, and I am a believer in recycled electronics because I don't want to add to the piles of batteries that are sitting in landfills. But so I went to a refurbished store and I have a MacBook, and they were talking about how there's a certain MacBook that they made for many amount of years that got the formula right. And the newer ones now, the whole, if you take them apart, because they're repair shops, they're like, if you take them apart, it's one piece. Mm-hmm. So they're no longer customizable. And they said, because I also live in the Bay, so we have people from Apple who are coming into our store to look for these MacBooks. They can't even get them at Apple anymore.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Wow.
So it's like that kind of, I mean, that to me totally is what you're talking about with obsolescence. So that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah. And so, you know, there is this kind of plan by people out there, which it makes sense for their bottom line. Like if their value is, you know, shareholder growth, right? Shareholder value.
Right. Growth,
this is smart to do that, but in that same moment, they're not valuing, you know, whatever, how many batteries are laying around or whatever we're doing to the environment or whatever's going on with the people out there that have to keep investing in these things, et cetera. So just being mindful of that, just knowing kind of like, what are your values? Where do you, you know, and some people value, I want to be on the absolute cutting edge. As soon as a new thing comes out, I want to buy it. And if that's you, that's okay. We're just bringing attention to this to see what are your values about this. Is this something that's important to you? If you're at that place where it feels like you need a new machine, do you really, right? Is that something you go, maybe I could just get this fixed up or whatever. So check in with that for you, because it can help with your bottom line financially. It can help with not having yet another machine. Like when I buy new machines, often I have this plan to migrate off of them fully, and it doesn't happen quickly enough because I'm always so busy. And so I end up with like another machine or another hard drive that like needs to be gone through. And you actually, in our cleanup, you saw the pile of hard drives that have old pictures, old things, right? And so it's clutter. It's stuff that I've now, you know, paid to move, had to carry, is taking up space in my life, right? And it's really all for this digital footprint that isn't as organized as I'd like it to be. It isn't as minimal as I would like it to be. So it doesn't match my current values, right? So it's now this outstanding thing that's, you know, got a bother factor on some level in my life.
Right. And that's, you know, kind of looking and preparing for this podcast, talking about how clutter or kind of general mess that hurts your productivity because, and you know, from the obvious reason of, I don't know where to start. But also from just the sheer fact of like, if your setup is, I got to plug the hard drive into the computer, it's my mouse, and then, you know what I mean? Just the amount of time it takes to set up multiple things when you can simplify down can inhibit you from doing things. And I think of, you know, quantity versus quality, like we're also told that more is better. Like that is messaging that we get. But really, like better is better.
Yeah.
Right? Have to be more to be better, but you can still make something better without making it, without creating a bigger kind of footprint in general for many things.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe, right. It depends. Right. So maybe, and you absolutely can, if that's important to you and you know, you want to do that. Right. So, the next thing that's really interesting is there's perceived obsolescence, right? So think of clothing styles, think of like clothes that would probably last you, and I'm not right up on the, you know, as I sit here in a t-shirt, right? I'm not right up on that cutting edge of style and all that, but I know people that are, and I know that there's seasons and cycles and, you know, we end up feeling because of media and because of advertising and because of different things, what we watch on TV, what the stars are wearing, all this different stuff, you know, little girls, men, women, all, you know, little boys, maybe all these different people are, we end up with this sense of, I'm not wearing something cool. I need the next style. I need whatever's in now. I do that.
Right.
So both of these are to say that we're in a context, we're in a big context that we're all kind of living in where these things in some subtle way say to us that we're not a good citizen if we're not participating in this consumption engine rapidly enough, right? If we're not working to have the newest, be the best, you know, keep up with the Joneses, et cetera. And to the degree that that's a fun game for you to play and to a degree that that, you know, isn't killing everyone around you, play it. That might be fun for you, right? That's why I say maybe. That's why I want to like take it back from some.
Sure. And you often default to like, is it useful? Is this something useful,
right? Like I just
in whatever way.
Yeah, I just invested in this microphone because I wanted a much better microphone and I wanted the sound of this to be better and all that stuff, right? So there are things that we value that we go and do, but do I need to have 15 microphones or do I need to, if I find that there's one a little better than this, do I need to buy the next one immediately? You know, all that stuff, right? So if we're not aware of this big context, we can mindlessly end up feeling like we need to be buying all these things all the time. And I'm here to tell you that you don't. Or if you're more mindful of that, you can decide to be stylish in a way that is maybe more classic or maybe will last you more years because it's not following the trend exactly, but it just, you know, it's just easy and kind of simple and looks good. I used to think about how I wanted to look in a picture where I didn't want to look dated 10 years later, right? So there was a time when I was a little kid and I used to do like hip hop dancing and break dancing and all this stuff. And I was, you know, this little kid with like, you know, handkerchiefs tied around my ankles and stuff because I'd seen that in some movie. And you see that later as an older kid, right? And you look back and you're deeply embarrassed at like how out of style just a few years later, right? You look ridiculous. And so somewhere it got coded in me that like, I'd really like to just look classic, you know, that is not over the top with like wings out here and all this crazy stuff or puffy shoulders or whatever, but just something that's going to look universally good as long as it can. And I think that serves me, right, as a value that I hold, just to keep it simple, right? I don't have to chase every, you know, now it's skinny jeans and then it's bell bottoms and then it's, you know, whatever it is. It's like, yeah, maybe it is for them, but like, I don't need to do every little thing that comes out, right? So just be aware of that big context. The other thing that I want to say that we already sort of touched on is that our consumption rate in this part of the world, and it's some enormous number. I just was looking up the stats to try and get it right. And I don't want to quote anything exactly. You know, I saw that we are, if you take like us versus someone in, you know, Kenya or whatever, it's, you know, hundreds of multiples in usage of energy and food. And again, it depends on what we're talking about that we're consuming. But it's, you know, like we're consuming like 900 times more. And I heard that there was an average across us versus the average of the rest of the world of something like 32-1, right? So we're consuming 32, you know, times as much, and just make it whatever big number, you know, is meaningful to you, because I'm not going to stand on these stats because I saw a lot of different stats about this, but some huge number in food consumption, the amount of water that it takes to feed the cattle, to eat as much meat as we do, the amount of energy that we use, the amount of like, you know, just everything, electricity, coal, you know, gas, petroleum, all the different stuff, right? And if everyone gets to our level, as I already mentioned, that becomes, it's not sustainable at all. So, you know, how are we choosing to use energy? How are we choosing to buy things? How are we choosing to do? And what happens here is if we get this dialed down to where we realize that the things don't matter as much as the feelings, right? If the things drive a feeling, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But if we're just mindlessly getting things because the act of buying another thing makes us feel good just for a moment, there's a different way to feel sustainably more happy, right? There's a different way to...
For sure.
To mature and not be kind of hustled by that game of like buying trinkets or just doing retail therapy or whatever, right? So something you said earlier that I want to just, you know, reiterate, instead of the goal of infinite consumption, right? That if you actually say that out loud, nobody's taking that literal, but it's kind of what's going on. We're trying to infinitely have, get, do all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Instead, the goal should be, what is better? What's higher quality? What actually makes me feel, you know, better? Makes me
what happy? Do I value?
Yeah, and what do I really value?
I mean, I think it's an easy trick or an easy kind of test for yourself is check in. Are you using the words I want or are you using the words I need? Because they're very different things.
Yeah.
Often are like, well, I need that, or I need the new phone, or I need new clothes, or I need another car.
Let's talk about the types of consumption. Let's come back to that, right? So we talk about humans consuming, and I want to point out that there's, you know, we're in kind of the information age, and right before this was the Industrial Revolution. If you come at the phase that we're in now, humans have ramped up consumption in just massive ways over the last couple hundred years. And we've also, because of this, we've had amazing abundance, right? There's been an abundance of energy. There's been an abundance of food. There's been an abundance of technological advancement. There've been all these amazing things, right? Like medicine's gotten better. A ton of things have gotten better. So we're not crapping on our technology or kind of where we are. But what we didn't realize when the Industrial Revolution started, we were at a time where we weren't quite global yet, but we were learning how to burn things and explode things with this offput of carbon that if you kind of burn anything natural, whether it's wood or coal or whatever we're burning, it has this kind of carbon give off. At first, that seems amazing. It seems like we can just make all this production and all this goodness and just kind of pile up our waste over there because the world seemed very, very large. And what we're learning is the world is not as large as you think. And as we're producing more and more of us are getting better at technological production, and there's more and more waste and all that stuff is going on, we have to figure out how to deal with the waste. And there are fantastic ways to deal with the waste. So this isn't the worst thing in the world. We just have to think about it differently. And if we're mindless, if our leaders are mindless, if we don't care about these things, or if we're motivated differently, right? If we're only motivated by stockholder value, we may make choices that don't really serve the company in the long term, right? If you take a CEO who's tied directly to immediate profits for his or her salary, right? They are then motivated to make decisions and choices based on how do I optimize my salary and immediate shareholder value, even maybe at the expense of the company over time, maybe at the expense of the environment, maybe at the expense of employees, et cetera. And so again, this is like a values conversation. Like, what are we valuing and how can we be mindful of what's really at play here so that we're not unconsciously making choices that are hurting us personally, that are hurting the world, whatever that stuff is, okay? Because we've had this incredible advancement in technology and all this stuff, we have a lot of waste in a lot of ways that we have to deal with, whether that be batteries or trash or, you know, the waste that comes off of energy, et cetera. We've also had this population boom, right? So I don't think people realize one thing that I often share with people is human beings never exceeded 1 billion people on planet Earth until the year 1804, right? That's really recent. And, you know, now we're 7 billion plus. I'm not even sure what we're at now, but we're, you know, at least seven times we've grown in people in just a couple hundred years. And that's astonishing, right? And that's basically because of a lot of the technological advancement that we've made, a lot of the advancements in food and farming and all the different stuff, right, that allows for that. But with that many more people, and that may be topping off, that may continue growing. We don't know what the future is going to hold, but we need to think about consumption much more differently than we did just a couple hundred years ago, right? We need to think about, you know,
there are resources that are limited. I mean, there's not an infinite amount of things to consume, as you had said. So, without any value judgments, like, you know, being mindful can also help create a better place for more people after you, you know?
Yeah. So as we're talking about this, the world is in many ways overusing resources. You may in your personal life be overusing resources, right? So how can we become more mindful of what sustainability would look like for us? And then outside of things, right, there's this other dimension of information consumption, which I know we touched on in the beginning of the show, but just clicking and scrolling, right? Living life literally attached to a screen. Is the very first thing that you do in the morning, check your phone.
Right.
And we need to understand and become mindful of this fact that phone that you're looking at has countless people, developers, really, really brilliant people that are literally their whole job is to make that thing more addictive, whether it's a game you're playing or the team of people at Facebook that work on that, or I'm sure the people at Apple that make, you know, all the colors the most enticing as they can be. They're literally all there to have this little, you know, brain hit at your next motion so that you stay consumed. And so we're becoming like an attention economy, right? And it's changing how our news comes to us. We're not getting, you know, the honest, boring news. We're getting sensationalized news because it's all about gaining clicks and attention and all this different stuff.
Right.
And so, you know, they have engineers literally thinking about how to get more and more of this new economy, which is your attention. And so how do you become mindful of that to say, hey, maybe I'm over-consuming information. Maybe I'm over-consuming news because, you know, and you'll say that to somebody who's really into the news and they'll say, no, like, I've got to stay informed. You have no idea. But quite literally, much of what you're being informed about is not exactly in your control anyway. And it's just, you know, hitting your hot anger button or getting you upset or making you mad at this or that or the other thing. And it might not be leading to the most useful use of your time, what's going to lead you to be the happiest you can be, et cetera. So are you learning?
Or is it keeping you from being productive?
Yeah.
And is it something that you're really valuing? I mean, maybe news is something that you value. Is your Facebook feed something that you value?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like is Google, are Google searches what you value? Like, it's not what you're doing, but just check in with how you're doing it. Right.
Totally.
And then see, and then also, is this kind of, should I be doing this? Right.
Yeah.
So that's going to help your productivity and your clarity on it.
And again, the first move is just becoming more mindful of it, right? It's not
exactly
right or
exactly
wrong doing anything. It's just, if this is left unchecked and we're not looking at it, it ultimately can be something that really, really costs us in a lot of ways. So as far as information is concerned, one thing to check in on is, am I learning and growing and bettering myself? Or are these apps and movies and Netflix and online screens and all that, is it consuming so much of my attention that I'm really just a consumer, right? I've just become kind of a permanent consumer, and I'm just getting through my days waiting for the next thing to consume. And there's really no point to my life other than to just be entertained or just to be informed or just to be whatever. Then there's materials and stuff consumption. We've talked about all of these already, but we're talking about electronics, cell phones, rushing out to get the latest thing, having a TV in every room, talking about clothing, right? There's that minimalism documentary that I really, really like. It talks about how fashion stores literally, they shred their clothing before they throw it away so that they can sell the new fashion, right? And I don't know.
Another example of the plan obsolescence.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, multiple cars, multiple vehicles. I mean,
you talk a lot about how you think that we might be headed towards more of a ride sharing situation.
I do. Yeah. I think it's really wasteful. And this isn't, you know, I've heard a lot of people talking about this where, you know, my car right now, presently, so I moved back into Center City, Philadelphia. And while I'm here, I'm paying for parking for a car that I go many, many, many days without driving. And then when I do drive it, I'm taking it about 6 blocks, and it's as easy or easier to go just get an Uber or a Lyft or whatever down there. Or, by the way, it's 6 blocks. I can walk it and, you know,
right,
or whatever. And so, I think this kind of like this idea, this mindset that we have to own, that it has to be mine, all that, especially as we get autonomous driving cars, as soon as that's, you know, making roads more safe because they're better at driving than we are, as soon as they're more efficient, they're, you know, easier to call up, it gets easier and easier to do that. I think having a car will be silly and wasteful, an investment that a lot of people don't want to make, when it's just like, I can just get a car, like, it, you know, driving's not even the same because it's shifted to being in the back seat of an autonomously driven car. So it's really just another place where I could be on another screen or be meditating or be doing, you know, talking to a friend.
Right. Definitely. Definitely.
And then why would I need my own car for that? That would be silly. And so I think that that's where that's headed anyway. House items. I'm in the middle of, you know, picking decorations and what things need to go on these walls and all this different stuff. And I'm realizing, man, I brought a lot of art with me. You know, I don't need this much art. I don't need to keep looking at this stuff and just filling it up with things. So how minimal do I want to be there? So let's get to the how. Like, what do we do about all this stuff, right? We've talked quite a bit about it, and all the different ways that we could be consuming or have a lot of stuff. Again, the number one thing that I want to talk about here is just become aware of what you're buying, what you're using. Something that's really, really useful is, you know, if you're not already, start keeping a log of how you're spending your money, right? Just have a journal really quick that you can pull out and just kind of take note, like, what am I spending on, so that you can become more aware of that. Because as even money moves away from bills that we have that feel real, right? It's moved away from like gold coins to dollars to credit cards to now it's like, you know, for many things, when I go to Starbucks, it's like an app on my phone, right? It's just like
right.
This little click. And I'm not connected to the cost of what things are. And as we set up auto payments and all those things are going on, I'm not as connected to what my budget really is or how much I'm spending. If I happen to make more than I'm spending, I may not be watching when these auto pay things that I'm not even using anymore are still leaving. So we're being incented in all these efficiencies and ways to just make it all easier to not be as connected to what we're spending and what's happening there. So awareness, right? Obviously doing this talk and just doing some thinking to become aware, but also really becoming mindful of like, what are you buying? How are you spending it? You know, what are you doing there? The next level would be, how do you clarify your values on this stuff, right? In some of the things that we talked about here, is any of this important to you, right? Is energy consumption important to you? Is your own clarity? Is minimalism something that you might want to try on for a week, right? There are ways where you can literally pack up a lot of your home and only pull out the things that you used over the week. And then you'll really have a sense of like, what did I need to get through this week? What kind of clothes did I use? What, you know, I needed my personal hygiene stuff. I needed these foods and whatever, but wow, all this extra stuff, all these tchotchkes, all these chairs, all these extra things that I'm not even using, I don't need. And what would your life look like if you lived with less, right? What would that feel like? What would that look like? Can you be mindful in your shopping, right? Checking in with your intentions as you're going through these things. Are you doing retail therapy, right? And right. I'm not saying you can't, right? I know that that feels good. And I know that if you're doing it mindfully, that could be something that's really fun. And if it's something you can afford, go do it. But are you doing that comparison to the Joneses? You know, did somebody you know just get a nice car and now you feel a little bit embarrassed and you want to get a nicer car?
Exactly.
Are you experiencing fear of missing out? Are you, you know, are you doing things that really match what you want your values to be? So as far as like your eating and your literal consumption of food, how do you want to eat, right? As far as your home, how do you want your home to really look? How often do you want to be online scrolling? All of these things are things to sit down for a second and write out some stuff and really get clear on, wow, you know, I do want to be more minimal. I would like to get rid of some of these tchotchkes. I would like to, you know, do some donations of clothes that I haven't worn in months and months, right? Get my closet a little bit easier to deal with, go through the basement, et cetera. Does that make sense for you?
Yeah, definitely. I am a minimalist personally in my own life. Mm-hmm. So this is something that I really connect to and, something that I really value highly, but yeah. I had a good talk with a friend recently who is in the process of moving or is going to be moving as well. She was telling me that she's really excited for the purging, right? Purging really feels good to her. And she was telling me about how one of her favorite shows is the Hoarder show. And so we started talking about stuff and clutter and why people kind of, because she said she thinks everyone to some extent is hoards something, right? There's mm-hmm. something. And for me, I have every handwritten note that anyone has ever given me in a box. So, I mean, that would be my area of hoarding. But I, as a minimalist, I'm like, I don't understand people who have all this stuff. And we were talking about how often people associate memories with things. Mm. So when you get rid of the things, then you are afraid maybe you're going to lose the memories.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really interesting, I was like, I'm able to empathize much more with people that have a lot of stuff, right? Because it's just something I'm like, of course I would never have that. That's just not my lifestyle, but I'm like, why would other people? And that felt like an interesting thing that I just hadn't thought about in that way before.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just kind of that awareness of like, am I holding on to this because it's a memory? Am I holding on to this because it's really useful? Am I holding on to this? You know, like why are you doing what you're doing?
Yeah.
And if it checks out with you and it's your values, like awesome. But if it's keeping you from maybe having good financial habits or being more productive, if it's technology clutter that's keeping you're not doing as efficient work as you could be doing, like these are the things where like just a little tweaks, right? Not like extreme, like get rid of it all, but like kind of just that awareness and then tweaking it a little bit can really make a big difference for you.
Yeah.
You know, is it too many shoes at the front door that you're, every time you open the door, you know, you're moving the shoes. Like, there's little things that you can just look around because like, most of us probably have some area that we can quote unquote clean up a little bit to kind of add more ease to our lives, you know? Yeah.
And one good use of digital stuff is just a short, a couple tips real fast that were inspired by what you just shared. Physical things that take up a lot of space can be, you can take a picture of them and there's still that pointer back to the memory, right? And I hear people in the minimalist space be like, well, your memories aren't the things, you'll still have the memory. And it's like, not really. Like life is busy. There's a lot of stuff. And you, if you do throw away that t-shirt that means a lot to you, it may not come back to you. But if you take a picture of it and you make a point to kind of look through your pictures from time to time, you do have that pointer that can remind you of, you know, now it won't have the smell and it won't be the same. You know, maybe cutting out what the logo is on the t-shirt and putting it in a book or something, you know, whatever. But there's ways to get the actual size of things down, right? If you're worried about, wow, I had so many memories on that couch, I don't want to get rid of that couch. It's like, you know, take a picture of the couch and get rid of the couch. Put a small
right. Chain cut on. A little bit of the cloth out of the couch or something and store it in that way.
Like
there's ways. It.
Yeah. But I love the take a picture of it thing, because then you still have the pointer to the memory, right? And honestly, writing out like what you care about it is a good way to kind of process that too. Here's another thing where we get stuck on things. And I've worked on this with clients quite a bit, as people like clutter clear, you know, clean up their life or do whatever. Oftentimes we will have something in our life that has a really bad memory associated with it, right? It's something that actually causes us pain, but because it's emotionally active for us, we have a hard time getting rid of it because it feels important, right? Mm-hmm. And what I want everybody who's listening to take on is love yourself enough to not keep putting yourself in pain, right? That picture that actually triggers you that you don't feel good about, that was embarrassing to you, or reminds you of a time where some trauma happened or whatever, feel free to like give yourself the love to get rid of that, because it's, you know, that's almost like a bad wiring in the system where, because it triggers us, it ends up getting kind of classified as, oh, that has energy, that must be important. And actually it's negative energy, right? So really be mindful of, do the things I look around at, do they make me feel good? Mm-hmm. And a really simple one is, if they don't, if you check in and you're like, oh no, actually that, every time I look at that, it makes me feel crappy. It's like, that's a great reason to just go and get rid of that really quick. So another quick tip is to really come down to your values, as we've already talked about. But the other one is to really like look at the mindset of more is better, and really go, it may be
true. Better is better.
Better is better for sure. And oftentimes less is better, especially when we really want more free time, right? Less appointments can be better. Less clothes in the closet can be better. Less things in storage in the basement can be better, right? Getting space and freedom and getting rid of some of those things really does leave space for new things to come in. It really does help clarify down to what you value, right? So like clearing down to what you value and what you know, having what's around you be what you love in your life is really, really important. I didn't mean to just keep talking over you, but go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, for what you first said, when you said clutter, you know, it leaves space for new things to come in. I mean, so you're really limiting yourself when you collect beyond, when you have mindless consumption, right? Yeah. Whether that's stuff or, you know, I spent 2 hours on my phone instead of, you know, just scrolling, or, you know, whatever that is, whatever level of consuming you are, when you have too much and without kind of clarity on why, mm-hmm. you're actually keeping yourself from opportunities where other things can come in. So if totally. You think about maybe someone who's like a coin collector, right? They don't want every single coin. They may have a lot of coins, but yeah. they want the special coins. They want the rare coins. Like they yeah. are taking pause and really like, is this something that's meaningful and valuable to me for every single item? So it's mm-hmm. not that you can only have a little bit, but it's like, are you appreciating everything that you have in that way?
Yeah.
Meaningful and valuable. Because if you're not, you're going to miss out. The other thing that I was reading is that often people who have too much clutter, they don't want to have people over. So they miss yeah. out on social opportunities because mm-hmm. I didn't clean up, or I'm embarrassed, or
I'm not proud much. Of it. Or it's hard
not
to
be proud of it. Somebody right. Exactly.
Around. It's just not, you don't just wipe this empty table. It's like, I got to move every tchotchke, and it's difficult.
Exactly. And so you're not as, so the mental space, the physical space, right, like really kind of trimming down to what you value, whatever mm-hmm. quantity that is,
yeah.
Can leave room for more goodness to happen for you.
Totally, totally. So let's start to wrap this up. Here's a question for you, for the listener. What if you changed how you consumed, right? It's good to hear things like this and go, oh, that was interesting, but like, I really would love you to apply this in some way. So just think, you know, is there anything you want to change in your food or how you eat? Is there anything that you want to change, clutter clearing your house? Or is it time to maybe take time this next weekend going through your basement and throwing out a few things? Is it time maybe for an information diet, right? Where you maybe think about or become more mindful of how much screen time you have, mm-hmm. Consuming less technology or entertainment in general. Because ultimately, I know that if you do that, you're going to be connecting more with your values. You're going to lead to free time. You're going to have clarity in your mind. You're going to probably have better health, more freedom, less stress, et cetera. And ultimately, you're going to get away from that overwhelmed, passive consumption, you know, oh my God, I need the next thing to feel better, when it's really not making you feel better. And so, yeah, do you have any other last thoughts?
That's interesting. I I know I said that I'm a minimalist. We're just talking. I got a new computer. I also had to get a new phone. Both actually failed completely and broke down.
Yeah.
And the new phone that I got comes with a thing that monitors your app.
Mm-hmm.
So you can kind of set limits, not, and it's not like a parental control. It's like for you.
Yeah.
So like you can be like, I only want to spend 2 hours a day on Facebook, and you can like set those settings. So I think like, you know, not to totally give all the electronics companies a hard time, but like building stuff like, that is a mindful way to use your technology, or at least be checking like, how many hours am I spending a day on, you know, on Twitter or in Google searches? Like your technology, depending on what you have, might even kind of give you the assist for if that's where you're struggling with managing stuff. You know, so that I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. And there are, this is things I help with clients all the time. There's a plan to literally go through kind of shutting down certain access so that you can really focus and you can set screen time. And it's interesting because there used to be apps to do this. But now I think you're on Android and I'm on iPhone, and iPhone, their latest release now seems to have a kind of a report that's telling you.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah. Your usage is down. So that's, you know, that's on most phones these days. So, you know, look, we do this podcast because we want to bring awareness to different ideas that can be helpful, right? And usually it's a big this versus this, right? And I think in this one, it's really mindless consumption for the individual. Obviously, there's not much that, it's not like we can just individually go change society immediately. What we're doing with these ideas, as more people hear these ideas, that's what slowly over time can change the whole. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what we as a whole can do. So we really think individually about what are my values about consumption. And I'm not going to make anything that you value wrong. If you value using lots of stuff and having the newest thing, go do it. If you love cars, go get more cars. That's amazing. Right. What I'm not for is the mindless consumption, right? That's not serving you, that's really hurting you. And so what I hope for you is that you take this and you go, okay, where can I be more mindful with my consumption? Some of the areas we talked about was in food, information, right? You know, all the different ways that we've discussed. What we're doing with this podcast is to bring new thought ideas. Sometimes you might need to go further. If you need to go further than this, that's, you know, it's people out there that are really suffering with something. You might need therapy. You might want a coach. You might want a group program. You might want a process. Some of the things that we do really can help. So if any of this is working and you want to go further, you can check us out at robscott.com. Come on over, get in touch. We've got programs and processes, everything from something called Recode Your Mind to the Identity Shifting Mastermind to all kinds of other stuff for you if you want. So, and if you like this, please go, you know, go subscribe. If you're just hearing this somewhere else, go subscribe to the podcast. Give us a rating and a review. We'd really appreciate it. And, you know, today's thought is mostly so you can be more mindful about the ways that you consume in all of the areas of your life that matters. It can definitely affect your mental health, your financial health, and your productivity. I hope this has been really valuable to you. Sarah, you got any final thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I just, I love the I want versus I need, right? Yeah. So the awareness of just how are you using your languaging, and we love that you're listening, and you can also leave us comments or shoot us an email. So we're happy to hear from you, and thanks for listening.
That's good stuff. We'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.